Disclaimer: the opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and guests and may not necessarily reflect the views or beliefs of other hosts, guests, or the podcast as a whole. Each participant shares their own perspective, and differences in opinion are natural and welcomed. Listeners are encouraged to engage critically with the content and understand that diverse viewpoints are part of fostering healthy, open dialogue.
Every time we're just like, hello, and welcome back to our sixth episode. This is our sixth one.
Is it?
It is our sixth one, because we have you, Charlie, Samantha, Truckin, Jordan, us again, and us again.
Us again, yeah.
This is our sixth episode. And even though we've only dropped four, this is our sixth one. So we're excited to tell you what today, Josie's going to tell you what we're talking about today. So get your tissue.
Yes, get your tissue. Sorry, I hit my vape early. I might edit that out. I don't know. I feel like I'm all over the place just because I already know what this is about. So this is going to be our trauma episode.
And we're going to have multiple people on here to show you the different types of traumas that people go through. So this is going to be a deep dive into some of our most personal things that you will not probably know or see on TikTok. I know that some of our guests that are coming on here, I am best friends with one of them, and I don't even know the story that I'm about to be told. And I just know of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Massive trigger warning to some of the stories you're going to hear, for sure.
So get your tissues, like she said.
Yeah, well, I don't have a tissue, but I have this big old blanket where I'm just going to hide my face in it.
I think because I'm that person. I do. I have handkerchiefs.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Because I'm just going to cry. Yeah. So we're going to go through, you know, different types of traumas. You know, some of them are relationship. Some of them are family. Some of them are spouses. Some of them are friends, children, all of that. And it's one of those things where that, like, what makes a person, like, you see us every day on TikTok. You see these people every day on TikTok. But it's like, me and Josie received a message the other night from somebody. And this person used to work for me, and I shared it with Josie, and it was like the most heartbreaking message I ever seen. Like, this person's going through a lot of things, and they were playing our podcast in the background where I'm going to start crying because it was so sad. And he was talking about how he had a loaded gun next to him, and he was like, I just want to take my life. But he was playing our podcast where we were talking to Charlie, and I said, it's okay to not be okay. You know, and he ended up falling asleep listening to our podcast. And this is like, if we could help one person is really why we're here. And I know that this podcast is not super dramatified, but you've heard so far, like, real life stories from people. And that's what me and Josie are trying to make sure you guys understand is real life. We're all going through shit. We've all been through shit. And Josie has a really interesting story, and I kind of want her to tell you guys, you know, what she's been through and what she fights with and the duration of that time and stuff.
Yeah.
So if you want to show it.
Let's see. On average, I think I've been to 25 funerals my whole life, which is a lot. 25. And they've ranged from family, friends, law enforcement funerals. And I will say, out of all of the funerals, my mom's was the hardest.
Yeah.
Obviously. Right? Because it's my mom. And I've lost a brother, and it'll actually be 27 years in May that he's been gone. And my oldest was 2 months at the time. So I'm kind of going to give you a, like, it's going to be a twofer.
Yeah. I heard a saying about siblings. It's going to make you throw up right now and cry. Uh-huh. But it said, I have multiple siblings, but it said one sibling is going to go to all the funerals. One sibling is going to have nobody at their funeral. I'm so sorry, but literally I was like throw up.
Wow, I've never heard that. Okay.
Yeah, somebody on TikTok said it.
Somebody
on TikTok said it, and I was like, we're in a group chat, and I sent it in there, and everybody was just like, ew. And I was like, could you? Oh my God.
Yeah. So thanks off the bat for that. So his was hard. He had epilepsy, and I was 19 because I had just had my daughter. And me and him So it was like, there's seven of us. My mom had seven kids. I'm the baby. And then he was before me.
I'm the middle asshole. So
you're the middle.
Yeah. Nobody fucking likes me.
Yeah. I'm the spoiled one. And so he was right before me. And he had epilepsy. And we and would always.
Epilepsy is when?
Like seizures.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he he had them ever since he was a young kid. And so we would always tell him, don't take showers, like when nobody's home. And he had already like moved out with his fiance, loved her, still love her. We still have contact with her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like she came to my mom's funeral. Like she's just a great person.
I love a big sister-in-law.
He just had gotten a visitation, like custody, because he had a daughter, not with her, but with somebody else, and don't like her. And so
you love a good sister-in-law, because some are diabolical.
So he had jumped in the shower, took a shower, and had a seizure, and his heart couldn't take it and had a heart attack and passed away. And his fiance came home and found him in the apartment. And it was just like, I'll never forget. So we were taking my daughter to go get, I don't know, do you know what Olin Mills is? Like those corny, like pictures that it's like, okay, maybe it's just a Texas thing.
Is it the Midwestern?
Like,
they get like the fair.
No. This is like in a studio.
Fringe vomit.
Yeah. Like it's in a studio and it's got like the black lighting. They were cute photos, but we were going to that appointment and I remember picking up his mail. I saw his mail come, like it was on our desk. And I said, because I lived with my parents at the time, I just had a baby.
Yeah.
And I remember picking it up and I said, I'm going to run this over to him. Because we, like, you know, I was going to take him his mail. And I said, you know what? He can come get his damn mail himself. And I threw it on the table. And to this day, I kind of like live with, like, what if I would have went? Would I have, like.
Was it around the time, like, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the guilt that it's just never going to go away.
It's survivor's guilt. Yeah. Like you always have that. So then his birthday and my mom shared a birthday. So my birthday is on the 20th. Theirs is on the 24th. So they shared a birthday. Fast forward to 6 years ago. It was in December. My mom loved Christmas. She loved all the holidays.
Yeah.
I had taken my stepson to school and I remember coming back because it's two towns over. And I remember seeing my parents exit. And I said, something told me, go see your parents. Something told me deep that, like, I don't know what, like, it was just like, go see your parents. And I had my little one and I said, you know what? We'll go out this weekend. Today is max deadlift. Cause that's when I was really into the gym, like CrossFit big time. And I went to the gym. And I came home, I showered, I was sitting down to eat like a late breakfast, early lunch type thing. And I remember my niece calling me and she was hysterical. Now we have like a little joke. We can kind of joke where I tell my sister, like, look, if something bad is going to happen, like, I need you to call me because, like, I just couldn't, like, I couldn't comprehend her.
Yeah.
Which it was her grandma. But I was asking all these questions, like, what do you mean? And she was like, they're doing CPR on Granny at the end of the road. My parents live on a big piece of land with my sister and my son now. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like CPR? Yeah. What happened? And she couldn't answer me. So I call my dad and I. These words will forever like live with me. I'm like, Daddy, what's going on? Because yes, I'm 40 something years old and I still call my dad Daddy. And I said, Daddy, what's going on? And he said, they tried everything, but she's gone. And I'm like, on? Like, what do you mean? Dad, I just stopped. And I had actually tried calling her that morning, but yeah. She didn't answer. So later on, I found out she was going. So my mom had congestive heart failure. She was diabetic. It had been a year. She had spent weeks in the hospital. She even went to a rehab facility to learn how to like walk again and all this stuff. Because it was touch and go then too. But she made it out fine. So we thought she was fine. And she was on her way to the doctor. And I find solace in this now, though. Then I didn't, but now I do. My parents always prayed before they even went to get a hamburger. Like, that's just who they were. And they were praying for God to take them safely to the doctor because it's about 2 or 3 towns over. And my dad said he finished and she didn't say amen. And he looked over and she, you know.
What happened? Did she have a heart attack?
They just said like her heart just stopped. And so I find solace in knowing that she
knew.
Well, she died with the man she loves doing what she loved, praying. I didn't see it at the time because I was so angry, because I was like, out of the million people in the world, yeah, and I know some pretty crappy ones, why do you take her? Like, I was so mad. I threw myself into the gym. Then the next year, I drank a whole lot. Then the next year, finally, probably I'd say the third year is when I finally dealt with the trauma, like, of losing my mother, because she was my best, like, my compass. I wouldn't say my best friend, but my compass. Like, if I was going through something, I could go to her and I'm like, Mom, I don't know what to do. And I would pick up the phone so many times and she just wasn't there. And my mom would call me like a million times a day. And I remember getting so frustrated and saying like, oh my God, she's calling. And now I
get, take that for granted, right?
We do.
You're like,
we do.
Fuck Mom, I'm not doing nothing, you know, but she, yeah. And then we think about it as parents with us too, you know, yeah. I'm going to call Britannia until the day she dies.
Mm-hmm.
Like on her honeymoon, be like, don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, my mom was just, you know, and I remember like there's bits and pieces of that time that I don't remember.
Right.
I remember falling to like, they say in the, you know, you see in the movies when people fall to the ground and you're like, that's bull crap.
I know that's
real.
I know that, like, feeling just what you're talking about, like, just all too well.
I fell to the ground. My little was small. She was 2.5, maybe 3, maybe 4. I'm trying to remember. And I couldn't get a hold of my husband. So I called a coworker that he worked, like, him and his wife were, like, I was really good friends with her. We went to the gym together. And I called her and her husband could hear me screaming over the phone and he was across the other side of the house. And he got a hold of, my husband was in class and they went and pulled him out. And she came and just sat with me and I'll forever be grateful for her because I was screaming like, and how traumatizing for my little one, right? Because she didn't understand.
She's mom's upset.
Yeah. She was like, what the hell is going on? Like, what's wrong? Because I never... I'm normally very cool, very like, hey, we let, like, it's, you know,
let's, you're the mom of our group. You're just like, let's figure it out, guys.
Yes, we can do this. Like, let's sit down. No, not in that situation. I got dressed. We went out to see my dad and he was, I think I even have a picture of him. Somebody took and they sent it to me and he's just holding her nightgown and he's just sitting there. And I was like completely broken as a person.
How is he right now?
He misses her.
How long were they together for?
59, something like that, years. Yeah, they were together for a lifetime. And and so
that is a lifetime. That is longer than you and I have been alive. Mm-hmm. They have been together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, they,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I literally cannot imagine spending a life, but I mean, that is a lifetime together, but I just could not imagine spending my life
with somebody
and, then continuing on without them, because he's spent more of his time with your mother than without her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how do you navigate life without somebody that you've been with that long?
Yeah. And me and him have had to have that talk of, if you're just holding, like, I want you here, but if you're holding on just to hold on for us, like, it's okay. And I'll never forget that conversation, because I, like, as a daughter, as a, because I miss my mom. I can't even imagine. And he just sits at home, and he'll be 90 this year. My dad will be 90.
90?
90. And I mean, he still gets around. He goes and lets chickens out and, you know, does all kinds of, but I think that's what keeps him, like, uber young.
Yes, we've had that time. Lifetime. 90?
Yes, 90.
What year was he born?
I don't know. I have his driver's license somewhere around, one of them. I think it's like
1930.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something crazy.
That man has seen Earth.
Yeah, I mean, he is a veteran. He fought in the Korean War. He doesn't like talking about it, because he's like, I had to do some horrible things over there. Yeah. And I'm like, I understand, Daddy. Mm-hmm. But
a lot of men say that are from that era.
Yeah.
Now is not the same as the world that we fought to get here for.
No, it's not. And so, yeah. So, like, I had to learn how to grieve. And it's not, grief is such a, that emotion, right? Like, love is so much easier than grief, I think. Because grief, you can be fine one day and totally horrible the next.
Well, I think even fine 1 minute and then an hour later, you're
just. Oh, yeah.
You know, falling apart and stuff like that. I think that is the worst.
I've told people, you know, because since then, like, now I understand, because I've had a lot of people, a lot of my friends who have lost loved ones. And I think that if I wouldn't have lost my mom, I wouldn't, even losing my brother, you know, it was hard, but it wasn't like your mom, you know, somebody that, I mean, it's both are pretty bad, but
I don't know which one I'd feel worse about, to be honest.
They both are. And so sometimes I tell people, some days we live day by day, minute by minute, or second by second. And that's exactly how I around the holidays, around December, I'm just, from December probably till February ish I'm not okay. I know I have to make sure my mental health is taken care of, because I completely am a wreck. Yeah. I mean, there have been times that there was one in particular time I begged my husband not to go to work. And he said, I can't miss. I've got an important meeting. My son had went to work and I had already decided I'm going to take this bottle of pills. I can't go on anymore. I can't, like, I just couldn't, like, in my mind, I couldn't. And my little one got sick and stayed home from school that day. But I was planning on taking her to school, coming home, and I was like, okay, by the time they figure out she didn't get picked up from school, I was going to be gone. And by the grace of God, right, like, she stayed home sick that day because he couldn't stay home. And then she was like, I don't feel well. And I'm like, okay, this has got to be a sign, because she was fine the night before. So, yeah.
And it's been how many years since your mom's passed away?
Six years.
And I know, but do you still grieve? And
absolutely.
Like, all the time. And, absolutely. You know, and do you think that that's going to be something that you're going to do for a lifetime?
For an absolute lifetime. My life will never be the same. I always say that my older two got the best of me because, like, you know, I had my shit together.
I think you have your shit together. If we're comparing you and me, you got your shit together.
But they got, like, the good Christmases, like the, you know, full blown, like, oh my goodness, we would celebrate. And the little one now, it's like, kind of like, oh my God, I freaking hate Christmas. I hate it. Like,
so I love Christmas. So maybe this year we can, I don't know, you and I need to meet and maybe we need to just do, I love Christmas. My house literally is disgusting.
Oh my God.
And maybe for your mom this year, we could do, like, the dramatic Christmas for her.
The stuff still comes up now, but I'm like, it's like me personally, I cannot wait to get it, like for it to, I wait as long as I can to put it up and then take it down immediately. And it sucks because, you know, she didn't get to know that part of me, my little one, you know, and it's centered around because my mom loved Christmas. She loved Easter.
My shit goes up November 26th after the fam leaves for lunch or for Thanksgiving. No. Y'all get out because we got decorating to do.
Yeah, my little one tries to do that. And that's how I used to be, but it's just...
Runs with... in the family with her. She feels it.
Yeah, yeah. She definitely... And so then, like, my birthday, I quit celebrating. And I'll never forget because I was 39 when this happened. And then my 40th birthday was my first birthday. So she died in December. And then my birthday is in January. It was my first birthday without her. And it was a big one because it was the 40th. And I was just like...
You didn't do anything. You're just like, no.
My friends made me go out and then I cried the rest, like pretty much the whole night. I was so mad. And then, yeah. I mean, because I was like, guys, she hasn't even been gone.
A year.
Yeah, it was like a month. And no. Y'all are trying to take me out. And I just, it was horrible.
That would have been something that I was going to do.
Yeah. But my little still celebrates her birthday. She'll bake her cake, make me, make her... my mom's favorite dinner, and that I'm okay with because I know that that's her way of coping with losing my mom. So yeah.
Losing parents.
Yeah. But I will say that tips I've learned, if you're losing somebody or if you've lost somebody that you care about deeply, get you a journal. That's something that I've done. And I don't mean journal your feelings. I mean journal every time you dream about them because you will forget those dreams. I had a dream about my mom last night and I write it down because then I can go back and read them and remember because like your mind is crazy, right? We forget them and not them as a person, but the dreams. And so like I have a dream journal of every time she's...
I love that.
Yeah. It helps. Trust me. Get one. Even if it's a spiral notebook.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. Yeah. Honestly, you're a journaler, though. Like, you always, on every episode, you're like, get a journal.
Get a journal.
I have the healing one from a child, and it's taken me 2 years to fill it out. Because it's just, like, what a trauma. Like, it goes deep down, you know? And it's like, whoo, you know? And I'll write a sentence, and I'll be like, all right, I'm good for a year.
Yeah. You're like, okay, that's enough trauma for me.
Yeah, but journaling, it's journaling, and it's a good book. It's a great book.
Yeah, so. Look, like, as a matter of fact, look, keep looking over there because I even, like, in here, in this room, I have all my stuff.
I love that. Not all of it. But...
That was my butt, sorry. But I don't know if you could see it. That was my
butt. She's so pretty. You know what's funny? Is right here in this room. I have it like to where I'm looking right at it. Uh-huh. I have a dress on, so I don't want you guys to see anything.
I saw something. But I ain't complaining.
I have twins.
See? Yeah.
In that literally so, we are in the same.
Yeah. So do you want to go into that? I know you're probably not ready because yours is fresh. Yours is fresh, and that's always the hardest part, I think, about grief is when it's happened.
My daughter's standing right here, so, I mean, I don't even think she's heard either. So, it's like, I mean, we can talk about it. That's what we're here for.
Right.
But, you know, I'm sorry about your mom. Obviously, I relate now.
Yeah.
And I think when you said that, I'm already going to start crying. When you went to 25 funerals is just... I've been to one funeral in my whole life. And I think when I used to, you know, not last year, 2024 was like the worst year of my whole entire life. And I remember talking to Tony, which this is Tony. He's my best friend. And I remember talking to him and we were talking about like how lucky I was. I'd never been to a funeral. Like I lost my biological dad that I didn't know way younger. Like I never really experienced what it was like to lose somebody you love. No siblings. You know, I had the close call with my little brother who had kidney failure, but that's the closest I've come to like losing somebody. And then, so I really just, I didn't know grief like that. Like when people talked about losing somebody they loved, like I really walked around with ignorance thinking that it was never going to happen to me. I really did. I was just like, can't relate. Like, and it wasn't that I was incompassionate with these people. I just could not relate. And I was like, oh, God's not going to do that to me. I genuinely thought that in my brain, that that was like my thought process was like, it is never going to happen to me. And then last year on Bertoni's birthday, January 2nd, like we started 2024 off, I lost my dog that I'd had since Bertoni was a baby. Like, this is still his pillow and I still keep it. Like, he was having seizures and stuff. And like, he just, we put him down. Like, it was just it. And I was thinking, I was like, I was heartbroken. I was like, oh my God, I know this is a dog, but this is like my best friend. Like, what are we talking about? So then like nothing really happened. It was like a quiet year. Bertonia was graduating eighth grade. So me and Tony, you know, we met in the oil fields here 8 years ago or something like that. And we just clicked. Like, when I tell you, he reminds me of you so much. He is good, like in the core good. Like, he doesn't get upset. He doesn't get angry. And he was like my, I don't need anybody because Tony's going to fix it. You know, like, I don't care what you're saying about me, because I literally relied on this friendship, like emotionally, like so much that I never thought, because I remember telling him, I was like, I could not imagine if you like died or something, you know? And you say those things without even thinking like that anything is going to happen. Right. And he's like, I don't know what life would be like if I lost you. And I'm like, dude, same. Ooh, I wish that heaven, visiting hours, and I would ask if I could take you home. I don't know what they'd say, but it's for the best. So I will live life the way you taught me and make it on my own. So it was in June last year. He went to St. Anthony's, Idaho, and I was going to California. And we drove down at the same time in two different vehicles, just drove down. And we were texting each other, like, see you on the other side, twin. Like, and that's what we called each other. And that was like my duo. Like, we were just a pair. I was coming back from Bertonia's graduation. I talked to him at 10:30 on June 4th. And he, or on June, yeah, June 4th. So he didn't make any sense. He was just like, you got to start living. Like, when are you going to start living? And I was like, are you drunk? Like, I'm not having this conversation with you. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, he's like, I just want you to be more present in life. And I'm like, okay, I love you. I don't know what you're talking about. And we have a 24-hour rule. Like, if we go 24 hours, like, one of us has to check in. And it's just been like that for, it's just normal. So I was telling him, like, hey, I'm going into Yellowstone. We're going to stay the night here. I want to have service. And he's like, okay. So I ended up spending the day there. So June 6th. So I talked to him June 4th at 10:30 that night. June 5th at 12:30, he was hit by a train and he was killed. So I didn't know. And I'm driving home and I finally get service and I wanted to post like all of these photos and stuff of like Yellowstone because it was beautiful. And my like phone is going nuts. And I open Facebook Messenger and there's message requests from a guy named Ryan. And I was like, who the fuck is this? And he was asking me if I knew, like, how to get a hold of Tony's children's mother. He's like, I just want to see if the children or her need anything. And I mean, my phone is going nuts, but I'm like hyper-focused on this message because I'm like, I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you don't know what happened? And I'm like, I just got service again. Like, I've been in Yellowstone. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he just responds with, like, Tony's dead. And like, bro, like, I don't know how to explain the feeling, like, my whole world went dark. Like, my whole world went dark. I was like, I don't know you. You know, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't fucking know you. You know? And I instantly, like I wasn't crying yet, but I was, like, worried. Like, there was a feeling, you know? Like, I was, like, what
are you... You were in denial, almost. Yeah.
So I just called on the Facebook thing. I just called, and I was like, hello? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, Tony got hit by a train. And I'm just like, what? Like, what are you talking about? You know, when you say something like that, you're like, okay, hit my train. Like, and like, it went silent. And I was just like, I don't know how long I was on the phone with this person, but I just like, didn't say anything. And then it just like went dark. And I was like, I have to go. And he was like, no, I understand. And I was like, okay. And then like, I hung up and I'm driving and I have my nephew who was little at the time. He was like five. No, he's like six. Cause this was six. This happened last year, and he's little. He's in the back seat, and I'm like trying to drive down this interstate at 85 miles an hour, and I'm trying to like call Tony, and I'm calling him, and I'm calling him, and it's just ringing, and it's not answering. And I'm texting him. I'm like, please, I don't know who the fuck this dude is. Like, please call me. And So then I was like, okay, fuck it. I opened Facebook because I was like, people are going to talk about this.
Right.
And I went to Facebook and it was just like I had over 300 notifications and it was just my whole feed. Everybody was just resharing and resharing and resharing. And when you say like, when you said like you heard, like you could still hear your screams like it was a movie. I could hear my screams like it was, like that shit still haunts me. Like I let off this scream. Like I like have never felt that pain like that.
Almost like unreal. Like you didn't know you could
feel that. And let that something like that out, you know, and I pull over and my brother and them are in the back truck and I get out and I'm just like collapsing into their arms. And I was just like, Tony's dead. And I'm not angry, but I was angry because they found out the night before and they didn't tell me.
Nobody
because we had 14 hours of driving left.
So your family knew.
My family knew that was caravanning with us. They knew. They found out the night before and they didn't tell me. And I was so angry. Like, I was so angry. I was like, they had people calling them. Like, hey, you need to let Bree know that Tony's dead. And they're like, we're not going to tell her that. And I'm like, how fucking dare you not tell me? You know? So I was so angry. And then I think life just like, I mean, you know, life just went downhill. Like it just went down and it went hard. I went to Tony's house the next day and I sat out there for 12 hours. I mean,
she did.
Just sat there and was just like, I banged on the door and I was like, you know, I called him, I texted him. I was like, I'm here. I went to the crash area and I was just like, I just sat with him because like, how scared, you know, and he had to have been. And I mean, my life just took a downward spiral. I mean, I relapsed and I did drugs again. And I didn't, I mean, I called you. I didn't shower for like 2 weeks. My house, I shattered everything in my house. Everything nice that I'd ever bought. And I was angry and I went through stages of it. And I was, you know, like I'd never been to a funeral. I'd never lost anybody. And I lost one of my best friends, somebody that I relied on for life, like life support. And I remember going to his funeral and I didn't even know it was going to be an open casket and it just hit me. I was like, my God, I felt so uncomfortable. I felt like this wasn't real. So I stayed for his service. They let off balloons on this rig and stuff. And then I just seen everybody and like all of his friends, they were like happy, like to see each other, you know, and just like that. I was angry. I just got in my truck and I left. And I mean, I was like, I just want to, I don't want to be here with you guys. I don't want to be around you guys. I don't want to do any of this. And I just was like, I just want to do drugs and I want to drink. And I came home and I mean, my house was trash. And I went to work and did everything that I was supposed to do. And I mean, I fucked up really bad when I was spiraling out of control. I did some stuff for legal reasons I don't want to say, but I got sued, you know, and I relapsed. And I had a lot of things that happened really fucking bad to me. A month after Tony died, I was like, I need to get my shit together. I need to be okay. Everything needs to be fine. Tony's dad calls me and he's like, your mom died. And I was like,
no. And for those of everybody who's coming from TikTok, this is not her biological mom, but this is a person who raised her. So anybody can be a mom. Okay. Yes. It's just like a dad, but it takes a real person to step up and be a, you know, father and a mom. And this was your mother.
This was my mother. So I got with her when I was way young. You know, my biological mom didn't like me and I didn't like her. She thought child neglect was great, horrible. I got taken and I lived in foster care. And this is the woman that took me out and showed me love. This is my daughter's grandmother. This is my mom. This is my mom who I call when I'm sad, when I'm sick, when I need a recipe. This is my mom, you know. If I would have known that you wouldn't be here anymore, I would have made. And you're just a memory in my mind. I would have given anything to say goodbye. If I would have known. If I would have known. Oh. So I just lost Tony. We're talking 30.
Yeah.
And then my life was spiraling. And Bertoni's dad calls me and who said, you know, what's going on with your mom? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, your mom's dead. And
dude, I was like, it's like you, I need people to chill when they call you, okay?
It's like,
and tell you stuff.
When I
ease
tell,
into it.
I was sitting on my back patio and I just sat there and I called my little brother after I got off the phone with Ricky. And I was like, what's going on? And he was crying and he was like, mom's dead. I said, how did she die? And they said, they don't know. She just went to sleep and never woke up.
And I said, okay.
And I just sat there. And I was like, okay. And I was so heartbroken already that I was so quiet. I just laid there or sat there and like tears just went down my eyes. And I was like, took my mom, you know, my mom, really my mom, who I was calling about this. But Tony, like, you took my mom, and I couldn't feel anything. Like, I literally did not think that there was an end in, like, in sight. I was like, there's no way, you know? So I just spiraled again, and I just kept doing it. And it wasn't until her trying to come home full time, and she didn't live between me and her dad, that where I was like, okay, well, you know, I gotta get my shit together, but I mean, clean again, and you know, I'm working, everything's, you know, around here feels normal, but it's like I cry every single day on the way to work. I cry every single day. I'll lay in bed at night and cry. I'll cry every single day. I miss Tony like more than I could ever express. I miss my mom, everything, you know. It's been 9 months, we're going on 10 months, we haven't even hit a year, and I have a great relationship with Tony's children and their mother, but it fucking sucks, dude. It fucking sucks. And it's like, it's so new. And, you know, especially when you're an adult and you're a parent, you got to get the fuck up. You got to do shit. You just want to lay in bed. And there's some times that I'm like, fuck it. I'm staying here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. I'm not pleasing anybody. And grief is hard. I get angry still. I still throw shit. I still, you know, cry. You know, on one of our episodes, we were talking about, I have such a hard relationship with God right now, because like you said, I could name a lot. I could give you like Santa Claus. I could give you a fucking list of who you could have took. And you took two of the most beautiful people that I have ever seen in my life or have been a part of. And I don't understand it is the thing, is that right now I'm in that phase where I'm angry and I don't understand it.
Yeah. No, I've been there.
And, you know, Josie is more prolonged in her grief. And I'm really just, you know, at the beginning. And, you know, they say it's always different when it's front row, when you're front row at a funeral. And I never knew what that saying felt like, you know. And I'm still angry. I still cry. I still hate it. I still go by his house all the time, you know. And I'm not over it. I miss my best friend and I miss my mom, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to get better or easier.
It doesn't. I wish I could tell you that it does, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
You just kind of become numb.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I say. I know, like my brother, when he passed away, I'll never forget, because you said the casket, somebody told me, don't go up there, because his was an open casket.
I just can't believe they should be banned.
Yeah. Because somebody said, they told me, always remember them that way and not the way that you remember them in the good times. And I remember seeing my brother in the casket, and I could see the stitches that they stitched his lips up with, and they were like, I know, I'm sorry.
Well,
and for anybody, this is trigger.
I want you to express those things. Like, I'm just like, I didn't say
because,
I don't want to hear it. I'm like, like, I just, what I would do.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because then I understood what those people meant by like, don't. And I remember the people from the funeral home coming in, and it was time for them to close the casket. And they had to, my other two brothers had to pick me up. I'm 18 years old. And they had to pick me up and carry me into the other room. And I was crying so loud because I could hear the casket shutting, because that's such a, like, that's the final moment, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and like, I just, like, I even got up and spoke at my mom's memorial service because she was cremated. And I remember everybody was like, because I told a couple of funny stories, and then I gave, yeah, I don't know for any of y'all out there, the Proverbs 31 woman, they get, it's talking about how her children praise her and she gets up and pray. That was my mom. And so like you saying, like, you know, I'm further along in my, yes, but I like, and it sucks because I see so many of my friends that have lost loved ones, and I just want to hug them because I know, like, I've been there. And I know how it feels, and it hurts so bad when you see. I'm so sorry, guys. This is, we told y'all.
We told y'all. Grab a tissue. We haven't even started with the people. Yeah, it's super.
This is just our shit. This is just our shit, right? But like, when you love people so much, mm-hmm. it hurts to see them hurt. And I remember you calling me, and I just sat there, and I remember hearing you just say over and over, like you just kept saying, "He's gone. He's gone." And I was like, I remember looking at my husband and saying, I may have to fly to see Bree. And he was like, what? Why? And I was just like, this is one of the strongest women I know. And I've never heard her this broken, ever.
I was literally like, I'm not even kidding when I say, like, it's, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it was just dark. Like, everything was just dark. And I was like, life's not going to be okay. Like, no, it's not going to be okay. Like, I think about the conversation with me and Tony talking about like how naive I felt to think that I couldn't lose anybody. You know, I was like, all my siblings are alive. All my best friends are alive. Like, my parents are alive. I never knew my dad. So I was like, I literally just was living in this world of watching everybody else lose people and being like, that's so odd. Like, I can't relate. Not in like a ill
not way. Not in like a ugly way. Like,
I just was arrogant with time and thinking that everything was fine. And then, you know, 2023, it happens with my little brother and he lives and I'm like, okay, we're good. Everything's great. And then it was just like, I feel like a trick because my whole world just crushed and burned. And it was just like one right after another. And I was just like, what do I do? You know, what do I do? And they say, it's not necessarily that you move on for them. You just have to learn to live life. I still call him. I still snap him, you know. If you follow me on social media, I actively post him. You know, yes. I don't want to forget what he sounds like. I don't want to forget anything about him or her, you know, and it sucks. Like, I literally cannot imagine anybody, even my worst enemy, going through grief of any kind, especially this kind, you know, and it sucks. It's horrible.
I mean, it's definitely not for the weak. It's definitely not for the weak. I mean, like I said, I've been to so many funerals. Like, I even lost my brother-in-law. Like, my sister, they're all older than me, but her husband, he passed away. It was right around COVID. And I really do think that it was before COVID had hit, right? Like, we knew what COVID was. And I remember him being in the hospital and I collapsed then too in front of the nurses and they thought they were going to have to get a doctor. I had just had, and for the longest time, I thought that I was cursed. Because it was like, I had my daughter, my oldest, and I lost my brother. And then I had my little one, and I lost my brother-in-law. And I remember going in there and saying goodbye to him. And it doesn't matter whether you know someone's going to pass or it just happens. Like, grief just is a very ugly, some days you're floating and other days you're drowning to the point where you're like, I'm just going to let myself go underwater. And there's some days, even 6 years later, I don't get out of bed.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, I can't do this. I want my mom. I want my, and I still have one of her nightgowns in a freezer bag and I still open it and it's weird. I know. And I smell it.
I have Tony's hard hat and I have Tony's sweater and it smells just like him, you know? Yeah. And
I suggest,
we sold his home, you know, in the estate to put it towards his children. And we're still, I think we meet with the lawyer on Tuesday, actually. We still have a long process with Tony. So we're still in litigation with the probate court for Tony's estate because he had nobody assigned to it because him and Talia were not married.
Because him being so young, he probably thought he didn't need that.
His biological mother is a piece of shit. And I will say that openly and publicly, she's a piece of shit. And the best interest is not the children. And Tony worked his life. He worked so hard.
How many kids did he have?
He has three. He has two daughters and a son. And he worked so hard to provide these kids with a beautiful home, with a beautiful life, with beautiful everything. And I will be damned if I sat around and let somebody try to say that they were going to sell his home to buy real estate investment in Las Vegas. The fuck you are.
Right.
You know, so it's like, when I say I go through emotions, I go through so many of them because there's been so many behind the scene things with Tony. And I am the one that, you know, thankfully Tony and me are like you and I. We're complete opposites. He is so kind, so light spoken. And me, I'm an aggressive bitch. So it's like, if you think you're going to take somebody that I love, my best friend, and you're going to use his assets as a means to make your life better and not fuck around with his kids, like, you will not fuck around when it comes to his kids. Like, I promise you, I will beat the fuck out you. Like, that's the level of, like, how much I was not playing. So when I had a conversation with this woman who's biologically Tony's mom but has never raised him, that's what I'm saying. This woman has never raised him and just came in, you know, and I'm speaking right now because I've spoken about this publicly on my own Facebook and stuff like that. So it's not something that's new, but it's like the level of how much this woman's got me fucked up. And anybody that agrees with her has got me fucked up. These kids come first.
Yeah.
You know, and the children's mother agrees. She's in the same, like, our kids need to come first because they always came first to him. It didn't matter. Like, Tony would never get a babysitter. So he could go out and party. Like, if he had his kids on that weekend, it's his fucking kid. So, you know, it's my job as his best friend to agree with the children's mother and the kids. Like, this is what they wanted. Tony praised this woman, the woman that raises, that has his children. And I love her. And she helped me. She did not. She messaged me after Tony's funeral and was just like, I'm sorry we couldn't get together. And we were not really familiar with each other before Tony had passed away because I was Tony's best friend, you know, and she's married to somebody else. And I love her. I would protect her at all costs. I see why Tony always praised her, you know, and I know about, you know, things and why they split up. And it was never my place to judge. And it's not my place to judge now because Tony loved her and respected her. So it's my job to make sure that the people around her love and respect her, because if not, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to rip your fucking throat out.
And all I have to say again is, if you haven't noticed, everybody, or maybe not noticed, but I will say this till the day I die. Everybody needs a Brie in their life. Whether or not that's like, no, but just, you can't have my Brie, okay? Yeah. But everyone needs a Brie, because I tell you, this woman is so fierce when she loves. And she's so, you know, like, loyal to a fault sometimes.
I know that's right.
I'm just saying, everyone needs a Brie.
Good though, you know, and it's like, you know, and one thing I never knew either is death really creates this type of like disgusting behavior from people where they want, and I want, and this and that. And I never, like, I always heard about it, right? But then I never really like seen it. And to see it firsthand of, you know, Tony was no different than any of us. He struggled with different types of things, and, you know, and the group that was there to pick him up every time he fell, here's my hand, you know. So to watch, I think I, you know, I slip up, I'm human, you know, I mean, I know some nights when I'm crying, I'll scroll and it's the worst thing. And I'll see somebody post something about Tony and it'll just be this fucking bullshit. And I'm like, fuck you. Yeah. You know? And I make a horrible comment or something. And then I instantly delete it because it's like, you know what? Tony was a good person and he attracted different types of things and he had different relationships with people. And some might be portraying them more now that he's gone than what it really was. But
you always have those.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you always have those.
Moment. Yeah. Have your moment. It's never going to be real. But our next guest is going to talk about a different type of loss as well. And his is very, very sad as well. And it sheds light on a different type of trauma in the same relations. The same, you know, Josie's lost her mother. I've talked about my best friend and my mother. And I'm going to bring on our next guest to kind of talk about what he's gone through. And so let's welcome him. So we want to welcome Kev. This is Big Kev, and he's the motherfucking problem on TikTok. So if you don't follow him, definitely do that. Kev, welcome to our sixth episode where we talk about trauma, and we have several of you guys on. And me and Josie kind of just went over the loss of Josie's mom and the loss of Tony and my mom. And I know that we've been friends for years now, best friends. And there are some things that I know of, but like I was telling Josie, I'm not familiar with. And you've experienced a loss and a grief with some stuff. And I kind of, if you're okay with it, kind of want you to share what you're willing to share, you know, with us and everybody about like really what you've been through.
So back in 2019, it was December 7th. I woke up at about 10:30 in the morning to a phone call from Hunter's mom's aunt, and all she said was, "Your son is dead," and then hung up the phone.
So this is, Hunter is your son?
Yeah, he's my biological son.
And how old was he?
He was 3.
And they just, and did he live in the same state as you?
No, he lived in Ohio and I was here in Michigan. So then I started freaking out, panicking, because I have 3 kids all together with her. So I got 3 kids with her and I was freaking out. Tori finally called back after 9, 10 times. They said that it was Hunter and he was my youngest of the 3.
This isn't goodbye, this is simply a see you later.
So I jumped in the car and rushed all the way to Ohio.
And you lived where?
I lived in Michigan.
So he lived in Ohio and you lived in Michigan?
Yeah.
What a fucking drive.
I made it there in like 15 minutes.
Jesus.
So I pull up in a driveway and like 6 cop cars are outside. I go to run up the driveway. They instantly tackle me to the ground. "You can't be here." I said, "What do you mean I can't be here? This is my son in the house." And they're like, "Well, she's in fear of her life right now. She doesn't know what you're thinking or what's running through your head." And I'm like, "Well, what? My son's gone. I just want to see him." So they made me go wait down the street. They actually made me wait about 5 hours before they finally came down and gave me an update.
For your son?
Yeah.
These were the police officers that did this?
Yeah. So then I finally got the update and they said they didn't know what he passed from. All they seen so far is he had a seizure and choked on his tongue. He was a NICU baby. I lived in the NICU with him for the first 3 months of his life. He had an irregular temperature. So at ours, our regular fever is not regular for him. He has to be over 98.7 to be okay. But so about a week goes by and I get a call from the coroner.
So before we go any faster, when you're at the house, did Tori go with you?
No, I left everybody. My mom and them had to race there afterwards.
And so when you got there and you went down, did your son's mother come out and try to like console you, let you know like, "Hey, this is what happened"? No. Have you had a conversation with her about it since then? Did it go better than you thought? Maybe time kind of helped, or you can freely speak here. This is just, I mean, there's no really, I don't know how I would react. I mean, we've talked about how we would react in certain situations. There's no right way or wrong way to react. I mean, if you cussed her out, if you said some stuff to her.
I accused her of killing my son and everything. Because how's my son normal the night before? I talked to him the night before he went to bed. And she told me they were putting up the Christmas tree, but he didn't want to help because he didn't feel good. He wouldn't eat his Taco Bell, so she let him go to bed. So I guess fast forward a little bit. I kind of skipped. The next morning, she woke up. She sent my son Dominic and Bentley downstairs to wake him up because they all went upstairs. Her and her boyfriend and the other 2 brothers went upstairs, went to bed. So it was actually Dominic and Bentley that found Hunter because she sent them downstairs to wake him up because they said it was kind of weird. It's 12 in the afternoon. He's still not awake. And she said that Dominic screamed out, "My brother's really cold and he's not moving."
So your son, your other sons found, they're not going to be able to recover from that. It's going to be horrible.
Yeah. So speed passed. It took a while to actually believe it.
Yeah. You said you were talking to the coroner.
Yeah, a week later, the coroner's called, and I actually almost had a lawsuit with Ohio because they tried making him a COVID statistic because he got back from Florida 2 days prior. So they were going to just say it was COVID.
Yeah, let's not do that.
So I got into an argument with the coroners. Then they finally didn't give me no details. I went down, tried to get the death certificate, denied me, the whole 9 yards. I'm his biological father.
Is this Hunter behind you?
Yes, that is Hunter.
It's beautiful.
And so, of course, I didn't have the money at the time. Tori was the only one working. I was doing a part-time job. I came to TikTok. And a lot of people on TikTok helped me. They raised the money for his funeral and all expenses. And then my mom and everybody paid for the other part. And then...
Where is he? Is he buried or cremated?
He's buried.
Where is he buried at with you?
About 15 minutes up the road from my house. And
what year? How long has it been? What year did this happen?
He would have been 8 years old.
And he was 3 when he passed away?
Yeah.
What did you like? for the drive, right? You said it was only 15 minutes, though. We were talking about, like, our reactions when we first find out and like, the drive and stuff. And I know this is the first time that you've actually, like, went in detail in probably a long time about this, because even through the duration of our friendship since 2022, you and I have never even had this conversation.
It's hard.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that day. I mean, you said you did the drive there and then you waited 5 hours down the road.
Yeah.
Like, what is going through your mind during all of that time? Because do you know for sure that Hunter has passed away? Or
honestly, it felt like a dream because the way it all just happened. And for those 5 hours, I'm like, they got to be playing tricks on me. There's no way. My son's perfectly healthy. And it just, I was just so confused and lost. I didn't want nobody around me. My mom and dad begged me to let them sit in the car with me. And I felt like I was against the world that day, screaming, yelling at God, why'd you do this? I don't believe in God. Like, I was going crazy. And yeah, they finally came down 5 hours later and said they don't really know what happened. And there's an investigation going on and they would let me know. And it took them almost 6 months after we did his funeral and everything for them to finally reach out.
What did they end up?
That's all they kept trying to go back to was it was a COVID statistic. Because that's back when COVID was first, like, really bad and really started. Right. And they tried to use an excuse, oh, Florida was one of the main states that had COVID the most. And I'm like, there's just no way. And,
what did they end up saying happened? Like, or do you still
to this day, if you want the truth?
Yeah, what's...
Still don't know.
Wow.
So, you said that they said that he swallowed his tongue?
Kind of. Had a seizure and choked on his tongue.
But so the night before, he was saying he wasn't feeling good. I mean, I guess I'm going to just ask it because if we're being real, because this just seems like, so when you investigate something like this, so you're down there for 5 hours, right? And you're sitting there and then it takes them 6 months to tell you, like, what do you think happened to your son?
I don't want to speak about it.
That's okay. That's okay. So your son passes away and you... What happens next after the funeral? Like, what happens with you?
With me?
Yeah, with you. What happened?
Went downhill. Got into a real bad drug addiction because I found out that painkillers block out a lot of pain in reality. So I was spending thousands of dollars a month on Percocets, thousands of dollars a month on cocaine. Almost left social media completely because every time somebody wanted to beef with me, they brought up my son and thought it was funny.
Yeah, they do that.
So that didn't help with my addiction. Got to the point to where I didn't care about nothing. Went into the woods, tried to take my life numerous times. Thought maybe if I smash my phone, can't be found. Nope. The wife and mom found me. Still have nightmares to this day. There's days where I can be grocery shopping, thinking that I hear him laughing and giggling. Even though I know he's not here, I still go look or try to find that voice that I'm hearing. It's hard. And I don't wish it upon nobody.
It's what I told Josie, like, I'm still super new with mine. It's horrible. It's horrible. I only have one child. I don't know what I would do if I lost.
I don't wish that on nobody. Not even people I don't like. I don't. It's the worst pain ever. And then also it makes it hard because my oldest daughter shares a birthday with him. So around holidays and her birthday, I feel guilty that I celebrate him. For the longest time, I didn't allow Christmas in my house. Actually, that month that he passed away, I threw the whole Christmas tree and all the kids' presents outside. Because I just felt like people were going to think that I forgot about him. It's a rough one. I've gained a lot of close people on social media from it. Even people that don't talk to me no more still helped me. A family I used to be in, it's not around no more, who run this. They raised a butt ton of money. No Label Society raised a butt ton of money. I'll forever be grateful to those people, even if I don't talk to all of them. Jake Moe and Jenna Lamont were a big part in it. They helped a lot. And that's why I'm so close to Jake today.
Jake, he's a good person.
It was rough. Funeral was rough. His mom was an hour and a half late. Showed up drunk, alcohol on her breath. And they wouldn't even let me go visit my son until she got there. They acted like I had no rights to my son. And I just went to a downward spiral. Didn't care about nothing. Just all I wanted to do was get high. Because that was the only time I felt safe from reality in the world. I was so scared to get sober because I thought if I did, I was just going to kill myself. And then already being diagnosed with schizophrenia, that don't help. there's times where I'll have dreams where the devil comes and laughs at me in my dream, said I'd taken your son, now I'm gonna take somebody else. Like, I have the most wicked dreams ever.
So Josie recommended what she does when she has dreams of her mom. Josie's a journaler, so she writes down the dream, the day and the dreams of what she had.
I'm scared to do that. My schizophrenia makes people think that it's going to be used against me if somebody finds it.
Well, not bad dreams, but
like your good dreams.
When he visits you, just because, like, then you, because I know I forget. Like, I dreamt my mom last night. And it was like I told Bree, like, I also lost my brother. And so, and he had epilepsy. And he had a seizure in the shower. And so, but I can't even imagine. I've had friends who've lost their children when they were much older. And seeing a parent, no parent, let me say this, no parent should ever have to bury their child, ever. We're supposed to they're supposed to outlive us.
For sure.
And so going through something like that, I've seen it. I've seen people completely, like you said, spiral when it's their child. Because, I mean, you know, even if you have more than one child, you have a unique relationship with every child, right? Like, I have three, and I can't even.
It's not true.
Look at Rayanne. Rayanne's definitely him reincarnated into a female body. Because this boy was hyper. He loves Spider-Man. We buried him in a Spider-Man costume, actually, and everybody wore Spider-Man to his funeral. So she reminds me of him a lot. The random cussing at you, the random just trying to be funny. He would climb up the couches and jump off them. She does all of it. So that kind of helps me in a way. But seeing anything Spider-Man, like, it breaks me.
So how long after did you, because I know you're sober right now, which is congratulations, because I mean, losing a child, I think that I would just, reality, I'd probably not be here. But you do, how long have you been sober?
I'll be 2 years clean April 8th.
Good.
Because it got to the point to where I was waiting. As soon as Tori got paid, of course, we're married, got a joint bank account. I'd strip that whole bank account and just take off. And I would leave for days. Yeah, she's my wife. That's my ride or die. It, like I said, when it made me spiral, after 3 months or 3 days of marrying her, I cheated on her. She walked in on me with another woman. I was continuously cheating on her. I had a lot of hatred for women because of my baby mama that I feel like I took it out on her. Like now, my baby mama's not even sober. I have custody of the other two boys now.
And you have how many children?
Biologically?
Yes.
Six.
And how many?
Together, 10.
Yeah. And how many of those
kids? I don't believe in the whole step-parent role, so.
Yeah. And which is great because Tori's phenomenal. And now you have full custody of all your children, right?
Yes. Besides my oldest, me and my first son's mom share custody of him.
And then the rest of them live in your home, which is amazing, considering everything that you have been through.
And now that the other two boys are getting older, I get the questions of, Dad, do you think if you would have took us sooner, would Hunter still be here? Oh.
I feel like you're going to beat yourself up about that, right? Like, I bet that.
I'm gonna. And I'll get into it why after you're done talking.
Yeah. So, no, go ahead.
So, before Hunter passed away, kid's mother, I'm not going to put her name on blast.
That's okay. Yeah.
She had a standoff with police, big steak knife, threatened to kill her and the boys because they wanted her to go into a mental hospital for a week and get evaluated. And she did the whole, I'll kill me and my kids thing if you try to come in the house. Well, eventually they got in. Of course, it's the police. So they gave me Hunter, Bentley, and Dominic. I had them for almost a month straight. Got a knock at me and Tori's door at her old house, even though I'm on all the birth certificates. And we have 50-50. They said she completed her evaluation. If you don't give them back, we're getting you for kidnapping. And I was like, how is that even possible? They're my kids, too. Well, she completed all that. You got to give them back. And then literally, it was a week later, it happened when I lost Hunter. I beat myself up all the time. Like, what if I would have fought them cops and pretty much was like, fuck you and do what you got to do. So I blame myself for him not being here as well.
How does that happen, right? Like, how does somebody do those things? And obviously the children were removed from her custody and put into yours for better safety reasons. And then that's got to be some shit I don't know how to say it right now. Like, that's got to fucking suck. A week later,
like the guilt that the survivor went.
I think a lot of it, though, is our laws have got to change, because I think that a lot of, and listen, I'm a woman, but I'll say it, a lot of dads out there absolutely 100% need full custody of their children. Yeah.
They're better than
they're unfit mothers. Like you said, if they, you know, if a mom completes, you know, A, B, C, D, she can get her kids back. But if a father does it, no, you can't have them back. And it doesn't, we got to stop this, because it's at the end, it's hurting our children.
Mm-hmm.
And people who say they care about the kids and politicians, they don't give a crap. And our CPS or DHS, it's all bull crap. They don't help. They help the ones that don't need help. They end up screwing them over. And then the ones that need help, they don't help. Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox. I'm just saying that we've got to make a change because of situations like, you know, Kev's, and I've heard so many others where fathers are well-deserved of, obviously. I mean,
well, they used my past against me, like being a minor and stuff, said that I was a menace to society pretty much. And I'm like, well, that was when I was a teenager. I'm older now.
Right.
And like you said, a lot of these states are a woman's state. And sometimes it sucks that it is.
And you end up in situations like this. So how do you celebrate Hunter now?
Every year on his birthday, and I see him 3 to 4 times a day. I don't care if I can have 2 miles left in the tank, I drive and see him. He is very celebrated in my home and in my family.
How do your children navigate through losing a sibling? Obviously, they're older than Hunter. And do they have the same day? Like, because I'm assuming you have days, like you said, where you're just like, leave me the fuck alone. You know, I've been on the phone with you some days where you're just like, I'm just not here right now. Like, you know, how do you...
They get those dates too, especially Brooklyn. She's guilty because, like I said, they share a birthday. And for like the first couple of years, she's like, fuck my birthday. I don't even want my birthday. I just want my brother. Or I want to hear my brother's voice because she was attached to him.
Is she the oldest?
Yeah.
Of the girls?
Yeah, she'll be 16 this year.
Okay. So she was pretty well older when she passed away to remember.
Because when I got with Tori, Hunter was only 8 months old. And Brooklyn was 7 at the time. So they pretty much grew up together. And that was her first brother out of all her siblings. So that was like her world. She was like that daughter mom. Yeah. And now it hurts me because I got to watch her go through mental issues because of losing her brother. Not caring about school, not caring about herself. She just misses Hunter. The whole family does. There's Rayanne's only 5. And there'll be days where she'll be perfectly fine. Then a couple hours later, start bawling. I miss my mom. And it's sad because she's never even met him.
She sees
all his pictures all over the house.
And he's openly talked about. I love that photo behind you of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my good friends, Bubski from Australia on TikTok, had that sent all the way from Australia. She handmade that.
Beautiful. I like it. Will you scoot out of the way so we could see it?
Wow.
And then it's got a little poem, like he wrote it to me. And it says, Hunter Ray Gillette up at the top.
So do you have, like, what would you say to somebody? I mean, I don't know what you would say. Because, you know, I think the sorry for your loss kind of thing is so fucking dumb.
I never say that.
Say that. Or when they say, you know, God takes the good people, you know, shut the fuck up. But if somebody is watching this and I don't know what it's like to be in your shoes, you know, I had a miscarriage, but it wasn't, I never gave birth to a live child and lived with him and raised him or anything. And Britannia is my only child, is what I say. What would you say to somebody, like a parent that has lost a child that might listen to this and doesn't really know how to navigate anything?
It's never going to get easier. And don't think that your son or daughter is not around, because they are. I get signs all the time. It's never going to get easy. Don't ever let somebody tell you it gets easier, because it don't. I don't care what they say. Like, I used to be real big into religion, and when that happened, I cussed God up. Left, right, side to side, fuck you, you're not real. And then my family being religious the way they are, they tried, you never know, God could have saved them from something far worse because the city he was growing up in, like, they tried all that. And I just didn't want to hear it.
Do you still feel that way today with God?
I try not to, but I have my days still. Still have my days where I just want to hide, cut off my phone, go get high. But I try not to because I got 9 other faces looking at me.
I love you, and I can't imagine what you're going through. And I'm sorry. Nothing I'm going to say is going to make it better. You know, I'm still in my process. Josie's still in her process. And one thing we can unanimously say that we've all said is it doesn't get easier. And we've all had different types of griefs, and it doesn't get easier. It's horrible. It's heartbreaking. It's, you know, and Josie didn't, but you and I kind of had similar outcomes afterwards of, you know, drug abuse and alcohol abuse and stuff like that, because it just really numbs everything. You don't feel everything, or you don't feel it as intense as what it's like in life right now to be sober and have to fight every single day to be sober. And like you said, painkillers really just, they take the pain away. You know, it's literally in their name.
You know what it's like to be sober and watch your 3-year-old kid go into a ground?
I can't. Literally, like I said, I don't even know how I would be standing, you know.
Well, it took state police to come remove me from the cemetery. I refused to leave. Once he got lowered, I jumped in there.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, I've watched some research about, or I did some research about, like, people and their child dies, and there was a trend on TikTok. This, I don't know if you guys seen it, but it was the lady who buried her son in the Black Panther. I don't have to send it to you. I just went down this, like, clicked on one video, and, you know, you just go down a rabbit hole, and it just, like, my whole heart, you know, just collapses for people, because it's like, I can't imagine. I just can't. I don't know what it's like to feel what you feel every single day when you wake up.
Yeah.
So
that's what I tell everybody. Even if me and you don't get along, or we don't talk no more, you go through something like that, reach out to me. Because I try to be there for parents that lose their kids. And it's rough. It really is. Like I said, there's times, even still to this day, I'm scared to go to sleep at night. Because I just don't know. Am I going to have a dream? There's days where I could be perfectly fine, happy as can be. And then it just takes that one thing to remind me. And instantly it changes. Pissed off at the world. I hate everybody.
I have a question. So, because I just don't know. Does this, I feel like it would for me, but so, does that make you frightful for your other, losing another child?
So it's funny you say that. Yes. When Ryan was a baby and Autumn was about to turn 3, I literally sat in her room for 2 days straight until she turned 3 and watched her sleep. Did not go to sleep for 48 hours. And I did the same thing with Rayanne. I was afraid any of my other babies going to make it past the age of 3.
That's like trauma response.
It's trauma. Yeah. It's a lot of trauma. Still to this day, I'll get up in the middle of the night and go check and stare at them. Are they breathing? I'll feel them. Or I'll even wake them up, jump scaring them just because I'm checking on them. Even with my older kids, like, I'm scared. Like, has God got a vendetta on me? Because 2 months prior to losing Hunter, my grandpa was killed by a 20-year-old drunk driver. And then we lost Hunter. 3 months later, God took my grandma to cancer. So I felt like, did I do enough bad karma in the world? Are you, like, trying to take this out on me?
I don't.
So like I said, still to this day, I check on all my kids. I'll even call my oldest. What are you doing? I'm good, Dad. I promised.
I stalk Britannia, literally, like, in the middle of the night. I work nights, so I go in a room and I look. And, I mean, I'll call her everywhere. I look at her, like, 360, 3 million times a day, even if she's in the other room. I do not give a shit because I am so scared. That, you know, she's all I have.
Yep. Even when my kids get sick now, I'm scared. I won't sleep for days.
That's, your other children have epilepsy as well?
No. He wasn't even diagnosed with epilepsy.
Was that the only time he had a seizure, or was there a past? Okay. Wow. Okay.
So I want to thank you for coming on here and sharing the story with us, because, like, this is fucking heartbreaking. You know, I'm obviously a phone call away. Josie's a phone call away. I mean, and like I told Josie this year, maybe we should all just celebrate. Let's celebrate something great. I mean, all of our dates are coming up, right? Like, I have June, you have December, Josie, you have December as well, right? Mm-hmm. So you two definitely have something in very close in common. So I think a lot of people this year are super sad, and I'm going to come up on my year of, like,
that first year is a,
I know that I'm going to collapse, but I'm going to try my,
yeah, the first year is the worst.
Celebrate, you know, do something loud and big. Just be like, you know, I still know you. I still remember you. You're still here. You know, so I would love to do that
too.
Yeah. But we love you, and thank you for coming.
Love you. I love you guys too.